You're listening to Evenings with Sarah McDonald.
Well, do you remember a couple of weeks back the story of Chantelle Doyle, who was surfing with her partner at Shelley Beach near Port Macquarie, and she was attacked by a shark? Her partner, Mark, paddled over, jumped on her back and punched the shark repeatedly and fought it off. And Chantelle is now recovering from her injuries. But do you ever wonder how shark attack survivors get on with their lives, how they manage often to get back in the water? I always find that just remarkable, the fact that they even want to get back in the water. And Chantelle herself has talked about making sure that sharks are protected. Well, in reading about her, we came across a bloke called Dave Pearson, and Dave himself was attacked by a shark in 2011. And since then, he's made it his mission to connect shark attack survivors in a pretty exclusive club. He called it Bite Club. I'm glad he's still got his sense of humour. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Sarah. Good evening.
Good evening. That's a great name for your club and very Australian.
Yeah, we actually stole it from the movie Fight Club.
Yes, I know. Only an Aussie could do that.
Yeah, it's well, the first rule of Bite Club is you actually talk about your experience, whereas Fight Club you don't. So, yeah, that's why we've done it.
Yeah, and the sharks are real. And we won't give away anything from Fight Club because in case people haven't seen it. But that is fantastic. And I guess when you call people and you say, "Hi, I'm Dave Pearson, I'm from Bite Club," what kind of reaction do you get?
Sometimes it's quite the opposite of what you'd expect. Some people think it's a bit of a cruel joke, but we're starting to slowly become known around the country. We actually kept ourselves quite hidden for a while,
right,
until we've built enough strength within ourselves to be able to handle some of the public perception of what we're about.
Yeah, fair enough. How many members are there?
We have 350 members worldwide now.
Okay. And what do you have? You have to have been attacked by a shark to be in Bite Club, I'm presuming.
You have to be involved in a shark attack in some way. We have rescuers, responders, shark attack survivors. We also have families of those who didn't survive. So we call them our fatal family.
Oh, right. Yeah, it must take some people some time perhaps to come around, because it may be a bit raw for a while to get the humour of your title.
It does, but it's just an icebreaker basically, and it works quite well. Once people understand that we're not here to try and force our opinion on anyone, we're only here for support, and it's very hard at this time for people to actually accept that there is people who just want to help you out and let you know that things will change, your life's going to be changed from now on, but it will also be good and it will get better. And your life will still go down probably a different path, but it'll be a very rewarding life that you're going to lead from now on.
Yeah. So for you, it was 2011 and the days following your attack. It must have been hard to, I suppose, get across to people just what you were going through. And did that feel very isolating and strange?
It certainly did. I was astounded by some of the comments that appeared on social media about myself and about, you know, my attack and what had happened. And people were telling me what had actually occurred in the water, who were nowhere near the event, but they'd assumed that, you know, I was surfing in the dark. I'd caused the shark to come and get me.
How do you cause a shark?
It really was a mind-blowing experience to be treated like the enemy of the ocean from everyone.
How would you get a shark to come and get you? I mean, that's just ridiculous. People are crazy.
Yeah, it's the social media keyboard. You know, you can sit there behind it and you can, you know, vent your opinion at anyone. And it's pretty anonymous and you can get away with it quite well. But I was really fortunate because in the same hospital I was in, there was a girl who was also being attacked by a shark, and she'd been in there the week prior to myself. So I'd actually heard about her attack when I was close by to there, and I'd seen the helicopter fly over, which obviously she was in. So when I got to meet her in hospital, it was quite an astounding experience because the similarities in our attacks and what we were feeling were was like a instant connection, and we both knew straight away that there was actually something in having that other shark attack survivor to talk to.
Yeah, right. So that was the first other person you talked to about it, and it was someone who got it intrinsically, who'd been through it just at the same time and just before you. And what did you realise about the importance of that understanding that's almost wordless and visceral?
Exactly what you just said. It's wordless. You can look in someone's eyes who's been there and been through it, and you just know. And it's a connection that you just don't get with other people. And it's even our partners understand to some extent, but they just don't get that last bit. And they can give us all the support in the world. And honestly, the amount of support I've received from my family and my partner has been outstanding. And I just wish everybody would get the support that I've been given, you know, since my attack nearly 10 years ago. Mm. But when you can sit there and across the table look into the eyes of another shark attack survivor while someone's telling a story, and you can see them reliving their experience, and you can get it in their eyes, and then they can look back at you and they go, "You know exactly what I'm thinking." And you go, "Yes, I do." It's just like, it is a life-changing moment.
Right. It's interesting, isn't it? Because you said, yeah, you just totally get it. But at the same time, some people will have blocked out what happens. Some people will remember everything viscerally. Like, people respond in really different ways, don't they?
They do. And like you said before, like my main aim after I got out of hospital was to make my peace with the ocean and let the ocean know that there was no real hard feelings there, and I wanted to continue our relationship. As corny as all that sounds, the ocean's always been my place where I get take my problems, and to lose that would be just as bad as being attacked by a shark. So I was very keen from day one to make sure that the ocean and I were at peace and I could go on enjoying that relationship.
So how did you do that?
So other people struggle to get back in the ocean, and some of our group will never go back in the ocean again. And, right. And to me, that's heartbreaking. And one of the things I try to do is to introduce them back to the ocean, even just, you know, a small amount, just to remember that peace that you can get from the ocean. Mm.
Yeah, so you got back in and started surfing again, and indeed you surf with other members of Bite Club.
Yes, as much as I can. Whenever I can get somewhere where there's another survivor, I will go for a surf with them if I can. I'll go diving with them. I'll go snorkeling with them, swimming in the ocean. Anything that they like doing, I will try and introduce myself to their experience as well. And as strange as it sounds, one of the places I like to do that is their attack site, because we all love the ocean, and most of us get attacked at our favourite places. So it's something that we need to make peace with, and to be able to go back to that place and enjoy the experience again. And it brings you back full circle and puts your mind back at ease.
I do get that, actually, Dave. Yeah, I don't get it at the, you know, the visceral level you do. But so that shark, by doing that, has almost taken away your love of a sacred space. So by getting back in it, is it like you're not letting that shark win?
To some extent, yeah. And it's really, I will say, like, our group is not about shark at all, and it's all about overcoming your own fears now, because the fear is real, and someone who tells you they don't fear sharks is someone who's very rare or someone who's just trying to be very brave. Because once you've been attacked by a shark, and I've said it many times, it took away the blissful ignorance I had of what could happen in the ocean. And once I was attacked and obviously nearly died, I now remember exactly why, when I'm in the ocean, that sometimes I don't feel comfortable. And once you get that in your mind while you're in the ocean, it's something that you have to overcome. And I have to overcome it every time I go in the ocean. And every now and then, you know, especially in the last few years, we'll be in the surf and a helicopter will fly over and they'll turn the alarm on because there's a shark, and everyone will get out of the surf and talk about sharks for a bit and their experiences, and we'll all get back in the surf 20 minutes later and everybody gets on there with their life. But to me, that's every day. That's every day I wake up and my arm's hurting. That's every day that I decide that I need to go for a surf this afternoon. So yeah, it is more of a mental challenge than a challenge to the shark, and it's the toughest thing for us to overcome.
Yeah, that's amazing that you can, though. Are there things you used to do you would never do now, though? in terms of
I promised my family that I wouldn't surf on my own anymore. Mm. Where I surf, there's not a lot of surfers, and quite often I would be the only one within kilometres of another car on the beach, never mind another person. And I would just be out surfing on my own for hours and enjoy it. I can't do that anymore. I've done it once since my attack, and the surf was like absolutely perfect, and it was just something I could not pass. And it actually happened on the day of one of my anniversaries, so it was a day that I always make sure I surf on the anniversary of my attack. And so, it was a great mental hurdle for me to overcome to say that I could actually do that. But yeah, that's one thing I don't do anymore. There is safety in numbers, and as you'll see and hear stories, when there's an attack and everybody bands together, you form a much bigger object in the ocean, and the shark does not want to come in and try and face something that's bigger than itself. So, you know, hanging around in groups is actually a bit safer for everyone.
Yeah. Dave Pearson is with us. He's founder of Bite Club. So when somebody is attacked by a shark, I understand you're really great at getting on the phone to them as soon as you can. How do you do that? How do you find out about them, and what do you say?
Built up a little bit of a network. I've got some friends now from the hospitals who will pass on my contact details. I don't directly ask to speak with people because they've usually got operations to worry about. They've got family that are panicking around them. So I get my number to them and offer them, you know, to give me a call, and we'll have a chat. And usually a family member will ring me up first and say, you know, talking about Chantel, Mark rang me up first and we had a chat, and I just said, this is what we're about. Here's some of the things you can expect to happen in the next 6 months, 12 months, year. We've got all these people who have been through similar experiences. They've got similar injuries. And so we all share the information that we've all gathered over the years. So that's how I usually get in touch with them. We also have the New South Wales Department of Prime Industries, who are now using us as a resource, because they're great with the scientific side. We come in with the people side later on. We do a little bit of counselling. We run a charity called Beyond the Bite, which is our website's beyondthebite.org. And our aim with our charity is to try and help people out with some of the expenses. We try to help people get back to a new normal life and to achieve and to move forward. So it's a big thing of what I'm working a lot on now. And we've actually secured two psychiatrists who are helping us out, and they will then contact, like I'll make the initial contact, and then they will speak with the person in hospital or the afterwards and try and help them through the mental hurdles that's going to come, you know, from now on.
Yeah, so you said, you know, you'll say to them, oh, this is what you can expect in a week and a month and 6 months. What sort of things are you talking about?
Initially, it's very sort of euphoric that I've just survived an event that, you know, could have quite easily taken my life. And as you mentioned before, you know, Mark ran over there, like swam over there and fought the shark off. The amount of people in our group who've fought for their lives in the ocean, and when they succeed and they're still alive, that initial feeling of euphoria and how great is it to be alive. After that, you start to get the pains. Unfortunately, with major injuries comes a lot of pain and a lot of physio and a lot of hard work. And you get your 15 minutes of fame where you're doing a few interviews on the radio and the TV. You get all your friends are around. And then what you find is after a month or so, you're sort of yesterday's news, I guess, is the easiest way to say it.
Oh, yeah.
And I eventually, people would say, oh, so your arm's all right now? And I would just say, yeah, it's all going good. You know, I couldn't move my hand. I couldn't move my arm. The pain was intense all day. But people don't want to hear about that. So you've just got to learn to build up that defense and just say, yes, it's all going fine. I'm going to be all right. And that's what people like to hear. But you yourself are starting to struggle. You're starting to get some bad dreams. Around about the 6 month part is when the PTSD seems to kick in. And I don't know if anyone watched 60 Minutes last night with Mick Fanning. He went through that. Everybody seems to go through that that period around about between 4 to 8 months where everything seems to get on top of them. And that's when the danger comes, because you're usually full of opioid painkillers as well, and just taking more of them to try and get rid of the pain. So your addictive lifestyle of the drugs can actually take over. So we're pretty aware of what our people go through, and I make lots of phone calls to people around about, you know, four weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and I just ring them. I just about every night I'm on the phone to someone, just how you're going, how you're handling everything. So that's the important thing for us, is to make sure everybody's feeling all right and feeling that it's normal to not feel all right.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. And it's interesting you said, oh, people, you just tell people you're doing all right even when you're not, though. Is it almost too much to explain to other people what
it's like?
Sometimes
it is. Yeah. And I've got my network that's, you know, a family who know what I deal with and what I've gone through, and they bear the brunt of my bad days, I guess. My partner knows that, you know, I can come home, and if I give her a really big hug, she knows I've had a bad day, I've had a lot of pain, and she doesn't have to say anything, and I just know, and she just takes care of me. And like I said, it's awesome to have that support, and that's what we get from each other in the group. I can ring up someone in the group and say, hey, guys, just want to let you know that I've been suffering the last couple of months, you know, my arm's been playing up again, mentally it's affecting me, and they're just, you know, the encouraging words you get back, the support you get back, the offers to come around and we'll go and have a cup of coffee together and a talk, let's go for a paddle in the ocean, and they're the sort of things that make it better. And plus, we've now got the professional help that can come in and talk us through that. So it's we're slowly building a really great people network here that's going to help people well into the future.
Yeah. It's fantastic you have each other. Dave Pearson's with us, founder of Bike Club. What is it, really? Is there one thing you could tell the others of us that are not a member of your club, what we don't get? Like, what is the thing we get the least and can be and change our behaviour on as well?
And I'm not just talking about shark attack survivors. I think is to try and be aware of your friends and try and figure out that, you know, when you know most of the time when you've got a friend who's not going that well, and a lot of us, and we're all guilty of it, going, I'm not going to go and visit Charlie today because I know he's been a real downer lately, so I'll just keep away from him. Now, usually when he's been a real downer, that's when he's going through some real struggles, so that's the time he does need that person to come around and say, hey, look, here's a cup of coffee I just got from the shop. Let's sit down and have a quick chat. And that's what people need, that human contact to tell them that, you know, there is somebody here to talk to. And usually that's the catalyst to either get them feeling better or to get them seeking help.
Mm. Yeah, no, I hear you. But, Dave, the other thing is you're more than your shark attack, right? Like, you don't want that to be everything about your life, the defining feature of yourself. So how do you balance that?
The group is something I do. I work away. I'm like probably, you know, 40% of males now who don't work at home. I live away from home during the week. I get to do some shark stuff every night of the week. When I'm at home on a weekend, I'm just Dave. And most people I work with, I'm just Dave. And it's quite surprising to some people that I've worked with for a couple of years, and something will pop up in the paper and they'll see a photo of me and they go, were you attacked by a shark? And I go, yeah, you know, but that's only part of what I do in life.
Yeah.
My rest of my life is my life and my friends. And I don't talk about the group that often, especially with my family. My son's the best one at it, because, like, we'll turn up at the beach and I'll have, you know, some guy will get out with a leg missing and he goes, oh, you're doing some shark shit again, are you, Dad? And I go, yeah, we're just having a bit of a surf here today. And he epitomizes the support I get from my friends at the beach, is they treat everybody I bring to the beach as a local. So there's no animosity towards them. It's cheering them on to get them waves. They know we've all been through an experience and some of them have been through the same. So when I do that, it's still normal because nobody makes a big deal about somebody I'm surfing with who hasn't got a leg. Right, yeah. And it's really good because it makes them feel normal too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I deeply admire you all, and taking back that water and that beach and that special place is fantastic. So good on you, and good on your work, and let's hope you don't get too many new members, really. It's a club you don't want to have to recruit for, but it's great that you're there.
Yeah, so it's been a bad year for us this year. There's been 7 deaths in Australia now. We've got, I think, 11 attacks in Australia. We've had another 30 attacks overseas this year so far. So it's a very busy year. So we're trying to reach out to the States and help a lot of young kids out over there who get attacked. So, yeah, if anybody's interested in wanting to look for a charity to throw a few dollars through, it's called beyondthebite.org. Most of the work that gets done there at the moment is from a very small committee we have who basically throw all the funds in out of their own wages. So it's a great group. It's a great charity to be involved in. And yeah, if anybody would like to throw us a few dollars, look us up on the internet. And yeah, we'll kindly take any money that someone's got, because we've got a big event coming up, hopefully as soon as COVID finishes, where we're going to get some guys who have not been in the water since their attack, and we're going to get them all surfing together in the wave pool down in Melbourne. So it's going to be a great event, because anybody who's been to any event that we run, it is like the most healing experience anyone can be involved in.
Very powerful. Thank you so much for your time, Dave.
Thank you, Sarah.
All right.
Been great.
All the best. Good on you. That's Dave Pearson, founder of Bite Club.
You're listening to Evenings with Sarah McDonald.